Jim, have your dogs found a new escape path yet?
They're working on it. Jethro was relentless.
Folks, came to the right place here at Republic Broadcasting Network and the Rebel Madman radio program. And again, folks, please, if you in any way possible, you may not agree with what we say here, but you have to support our right to say it. And I think that is, if without that, we have no freedom. So, you know, and I'm not interested in making friends. That's not anything that has bothered me in the last half a century. I don't really care, because if you are opposed to the truth, I wouldn't want you to be a friend anyway. But anyway, folks, support RBN if you can. And our buddy out there in Arizona, Cal, has he's got some words for all of you people who have gone through all of these efforts to get your concealed weapons permit, your CCW. Cal, jump on it, buddy.
Well, as DW pointed out, you know, you asked him how many people, you know, who vote would actually exercise that right, you know, and DW's with 1%. And I wanted to point out that all these people with the CCW, all these people that are jumping up and down about these open carry laws enacted by different states, I think South Carolina was a recent one. I was reading a headline on it, you know, South Carolina Constitution of Carry Law allows the open possession of handguns. Oh, how benevolent of the gods of South Carolina to allow you to exercise your natural right, is my response. But in looking at it, these people who have, you know, who appeal to authority, oh, we need these laws to protect us, and we need to surrender our unalienable and natural right to arms and obtain a privilege or a card from the government to exercise our natural right. So I don't know if I have much faith in those who have a permit or permission or advocate for permission from government to exercise their natural right. I don't know how much they're going to stand when the time to stand comes. Am I off on that? Are people who have gotten a constitutional carry permit, have they voluntarily surrendered or relegated their natural right into a privilege granted from government?
Yeah.
Good question.
Definitely.
Those out there that have that.
You know, I started carrying back before I turned 21. I actually turned 21 in the Marine Corps in Quantico, Virginia. Before that, I had a job at a it was a catalog showroom. If anybody remembers Service Merchandise, this was a similar company. And I was manager of the camera department. And our jewelry department kept getting robbed. And I started carrying a little .38 in my boot when that stuff started up. And, you know, like I said, I didn't ask for anybody's permission, because at that time, Ohio didn't have a permit law. And I wasn't about to ask. You know, my thing was, I'd rather be carried by six than, or carried by or tried by 12 than carried by six. I'll get it right one of these days. And it was just common sense to me. Protect yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. You know, when seconds count, the police are minutes away, if you're lucky. And you know, when I used to, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was teaching NRA basic pistol and personal protection classes. And when Ohio finally passed their concealed carry bill, I stopped teaching, because at that point, everybody and his brother was coming out of the woodwork thinking they were going to get rich teaching people how to carry so they could, you know, get their permit. And I stopped teaching it because I was not going to be a part of somebody giving up their God-given right in exchange for a state-granted privilege. And I made it very plain about that. People would ask me all the time, hey, you're a cop, what do you do about this or do about that? I said, just get a gun, learn how to use it, and carry it. Don't ask permission. Don't get permits and that kind of junk. You're just setting yourself up to have your door kicked in down the road. You know, individual personal rights are given by God, not by government. God gives it, only God can take it away. I don't care what man has to say about it, period. That's my two cents for what it's worth.
Well, that's the attitude those people called the Minutemen had when they met the Redcoats at Lexington and Concord, Jim. So, my hat's off to you.
Absolutely. DW, got a comment here, buddy?
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that topic up, Cal. I say that the people that placate tyranny by acquiescing to and lick spittle sycophants that patronize themselves and everybody else around them with giving government the pretext, the pretense, and the prerogative to give you something. How dare you?
Hey, DW,
you've given them the prerogative to give you something that you're not man enough to embrace yourself, okay? So any time you've done that, you're putting the rest of anybody else at risk because you're aiding and abetting a tyrannical mentality because you don't have the courage of your own principles. Anybody that can give you something then has the prerogative to take it away, dummy.
Yep,
you
that's
fools.
That's exactly the point. If you beg the government for permission, you are giving the government the right to say no. If you ask them to make a decision, and my question for all three of you guys is, of all of the people in this country who have their wonderful CCWs, what they're, you know, in Georgia, they have a little badge that you have if you're a CCW carrier. Here's my question is, if the government granted permission for that CCW and all of a sudden, you know, with an executive order, the president of the United States, whether he be a bumbling idiot or an orange messiah, if they said, well, it's time to give up your guns because, you know, we're going to protect you, what percentage of those CCW guys would turn them in?
Quite a large percentage.
Quite a large percentage.
That was part of the QAnon narrative there for a while. Trust the plan. If Trump has to declare martial law and you have to surrender your guns, go ahead and do it because it's just for a while. I mean, that was their narrative. They were willing to surrender their weapons. And they're willing to have the Orange Messiah come riding over the hill in his shiny horse and become a dictator. They're willing for it. They're wanting it. And it just blows me away.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how many people back in, I think it was 2021, after the January 6th fiasco, and all of these people were talking about, yes, I would totally accept a military dictatorship if Trump was in charge. What? I knew then that the chances of regaining rightful liberty in this country were getting dimmer and dimmer. So, Cal, your thoughts, buddy?
Well, no, I agree. It's like that whole so-called insurrection. It's like an insurrection, at least they have pitchforks and torches, don't they? These guys didn't have anything. In fact, I remember seeing a picture, I guess they called him Zip Tie Guy. He had found, you know, how the police have zip ties to restrain people. He had a handful of these zip ties in his hand. And when asked about it, he said, oh, I had them so I could hand them over to an officer so that they could use them. And it's like, they would use them on you, you idiot. Where do these people come up with their thought process, Mike? Part of these guys are the enforcers of tyranny. When tyranny says you're going to do this, they're going to follow their orders. Do people fail to understand?
Well, who almost
it's going to show up at their door.
Yep.
Okay, Cal Mike, I got a Cal Mike Jim. I got a new T-shirt. I got a new T-shirt, Jim. Uh-oh. It says on the top of it in big bold. Big, bold, patriotic, manly letters. It says, CCW, freedom through obedience and liberty through license. Hoorah!
That's a great one. Oh, I love it. I love it. That one sounds great. That one is really something. But, yeah, well, we've kind of jumped all over the place, and DW, you haven't told us your subject for today yet.
Well, we were having so much fun with Jim's, I thought I'd just ride the draft. You know, I just draft on behind him there, you know. And
well, I'm sorry, buddy, you got to take the lead now.
I came up with something the other day. I was, I guess I'm old enough now. I was cogitating. Before I used to think about things, and now I'm old. I'm so old that, as everybody reminds me, that I have to cogitate on things now. Well, I was cogitating. And a question kind of came to my mind as I listened to this, the blathering of the conservative talking press and pundits and influencers. Oh, the influencers. Yeah. And I said, so a question that came to mind, guys, was this. It was, how do the mythological memories of the past serve the purposes of the politicians in the present?
Good question. You want to elaborate?
Yeah. Well, it's this founding father demagogue idol worship, and all the posing, pontificating, filibustering, blathering politician has to do is evoke some past memory of some founding father, and it's sacrosanct. And you know, you have to you must be some kind of communist or Marxist if you don't agree with supporting what I say the mythology is about the founding fathers. That's one example. You know, I mean, Fox News and you know, Tucker Carlson, all these clowns. You know, these influencers, you know, Tucker Carlson, yeah, his dad who works for the CIA, and Tucker Carlson applied and was turned down. Or was he? Was he turned down? Really? Okay. And, you know, you hear him say it all the time. He'll start out a sentence with, and the founding fathers.
Yep. And let's not forget, his best friend was Hunter Biden.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe they shared Instagram shots or something. Who knows? But, you know, this is just one example. And then, you know, you got the orange-haired Wonder Boy, you know, who, well, I'm in 2016, you know, I'm going to bring back the principles and the values to America of Abraham Lincoln. Oh, that's just genius. And then all the Pentecostal, evangelical, charismatic, and conservative Christians in the South are like, yeah, that's my man. That's my man.
Yeah, and then the Second Amendment supporters who still stand behind him when he said, yes, let's take the guns first, due process second.
Yeah, of course. Maybe they missed that clip. Maybe they were watching Cars Turn Left or football. Yeah. So
he used the Oval Office power to get rid of, you know, so-called bump stocks.
Yeah,
that was done by Jeff. That wasn't done by inflation or whatever. Bump stocks are pretty much worthless. Yeah.
And how many people have been killed with a bump stock?
I don't know. I've never bumped into any of them. So this, going along with my question, I don't know, maybe this will make sense to some, maybe it won't, I guess I will see. But I wrote the authoritarian extortion racket. And this is to the so-called we the people. You we the peoples out there. You have no idea what that means, but you think you do. And so you we's the peoples. Before you can see who these people really are, you will have to remove your own mask. That's right. I believe the American people are wearing a mask that somebody gave them to wear. This is your identity. And as long as you wear this mask, you'll do okay. Yeah. So I think that I think it's obvious that this 1% of the people actually have the principles and convictions and know, have already self-determined what they're and who they are and what they're going to do and what they're going to stand for and what they're not going to stand for. And this other 99% of these so-called patriots and gun owners, well, they're posers, they're wearing their mask, and they're going to have to repent. And this is why I say to earlier what Jim was talking about, the time's up. They don't have enough time to turn their moronic and idiotic and ignorant selves around. They don't. These people are a danger to themselves and everybody else around them. They are more than happy. They are ecstatic. They are energized in order to pay the cannibals to eat them last. That's exactly what they're happy to do.
I got a thought.
They will crawfish. They will crawfish their sorry, pathetic little selves back and sell out everybody else and everything around them just to save themselves. And that's a fact.
Here's one for you.
Go, Jim.
Yeah.
When some gun guy sits there and sticks his chest out, they ain't taking my guns, by golly. Ask him, I said, during COVID, did you wear a face diaper? That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That's simple exactly solution right. To answer to that question. Yeah, right. Sit down and shut up.
How many gun owners out there wore a face mask? That's a good question, Jim. How many of you gun owners wore a face mask? How many of you complied? How many of you disobeyed?
Well, I bet you most of the people with the CCW complied.
Probably.
Well, it's too late for them already.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're establishing a precedence, you know.
Well, that's the problem. If it's generational, and the powers that be know this, you know. I mean, if they get people to surrender their natural rights to paper, such as on the Constitution, then they surrender it to law, such as whatever the legislature want to come up with. Well, pretty soon, succeeding generations think that their rights come from the Constitution or from laws. Oh, wait, that's what's happening, isn't it? People have forgotten where their rights come from, haven't they?
I get sick every time I hear some idiot saying, well, the First Amendment gives me the right to this, or the Second Amendment gives me the right to that. I say, you're an idiot. You need to do some research. You need to come to my shows on Thursday afternoons. Of course, that would throw them off. They'd freak out. They'd jump off the top of the jump out of their basement window, probably.
Well, hey, look, guys, I see this whole Donald Trump episode and the psyop that it is simply the same kind of garbage thinking and false doctrines of Christian dispensationalism and Zionist Christianism and rapture tardism. And here's why. A Donald Trump second presidency will bring about a political rapture, saving them from their previous choices. You see, if we have a political rapture, this gets us to the religion rapture finish line. We're not going to have to experience the consequences that we voted for, participated in all of our lives. We're going to be okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's political rapture dispensationalism. People, they know they've screwed up, but they can't repent from it. They have to go forward. Donald Trump, he's an archetype. He's an archetype. He's a mythos, a hero, a political, mythological divinity archetype. He provides them the false pretenses and illusions and imposing of heroism that they want him to project onto them because they supported him. They can't manifest it themselves. No, they're impotent. I didn't say ignorant. They're that too, but they're impotent, if you know what that means. You got no testicles, boys. And you work yourselves up into these psychological frenzies. And that actually was on display and manifested itself January 6th. And how did that work out for you, kids? Did your little mythology bubble pop? Okay. So all I can say about these people is that they're operating in a politically superstitious cult, personal party, deifying a guy like Donald Trump. And on the other side of the aisle, they do it with whoever that is put up there. And so we're dealing with occultism and cultism and people who every day is their first day, guys. I don't know, but it's really true. They really want Donald Trump to be a demigod for them. It's really kind of sick, but it's been repeated in history for thousands of years. This is how demigods have arisen to power.
Well, here's a question I've got for you three guys. How will we know when the powers that be have decided that mind control doesn't work?
When the people quit following what they say.
Okay, well, I've got a better definition.
When they start kicking doors.
My definition is they will realize, and Sarge, you're spot on, but if you folks want to know when the powers that be have given up on mind control is when nobody in the national media mentions Donald Trump for at least 72 hours.
Yeah, I can buy that.
Because all of the, you can go onto almost any news thing, regardless of where it is, and if there is not something about Trump on there, and they've also jumped on this crazy broad from Colorado, Boebert or Boebert or whatever her name is, and she's about as loony as as can be. They actually caught her, vaping in a area where she wasn't supposed to be, at the same time that she was being, I guess the proper phrase is she was feeling up her boyfriend. And that is the kind of person who is actually in office, and the people think about, oh, she did good stuff. Yeah, of course she did. She supports Trump. That's all she needs to do is support Trump. And, all of the sins are forgiven if you just support Trump. And people tell me that they don't look upon government as their God. It's incredible. But anyway, I think I will know that they feel like they have gotten the show where they need it to be, because from 2016 until 2024, I don't believe there has been a day that Trump hasn't been mentioned in one media or the other. Can you guys help me with that?
No, that's just it, Mike. It's kind of like reverse psychology you use on children, and they've brought society's mentality state down to that, you know, somewhere around seventh grade, so they're still children. So, yeah, that reverse mentality works. So the more you attack Trump, one, the people who don't like Trump jump on board of it, and two, the people who support Trump defend him that much stronger. This is classic parenting, basically. But, of course, government and the powers of be become the parents of most people.
Yeah, great observation, yeah. Cal. Go ahead, DW.
That's a really good point. Really good point on Cal's part. You know, it's the oldest trick in the book, and it's called reverse psychology. It's how to manipulate people 101, and parents learn how to do it to 9-year-old children.
Go ahead, buddy.
I had something else, but it slipped my mind. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, back in 2016, I put into an article, I could get my dog elected president if I could just get Hillary Clinton and the Democrats to say he was bad.
Just change his name to none of the above.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I remember what I was going to say. Cal was talking. He reminded me that if Trump is so irrelevant, why do they keep making him relevant?
Bingo. You always got to have the boogeyman.
Yeah.
It's all part of the PSYOP, right, Mike?
Absolutely, Jim. It's all part of the PSYOP. You have to have the bad guy. And that this is how the genius of political parties was what just absolutely controlled this country. Because the people who support their president, like the people who still claim that Donald Trump is president, those people, you know, they are just, they're out of it because they don't think, because they have their guy. And then, of course, you go to the opponents, and they're just the opposite. But if you put your guy in, look at how many times, people, we talk about how wonderful the Republicans are. Go into history and look, at least in our lifetimes, how many times the Republicans have controlled the presidency and the House and the Senate, and what did they get accomplished? I'll leave that to you guys.
Poor government.
Well, that was
none of the stuff they promised.
They accomplished
for sure.
The agenda. They accomplished the agenda, and the agenda never changes. The agenda. Why would you think that they're different parties when they're paid by the same people? Why would people think that the only thing that a politician has to offer is influence, and he sells it to the highest bidder, and then people get butthurt when he actually fulfills his actual commitment to his highest contributors? Hey, look, you know, how foolish do you have to be to not understand that the only thing that they have to peddle is influence, and they're only working in their self-interest? And then you support that and call it only business. But it doesn't matter if you support it or not, because you're a pawn. You're a peon. You don't have any input. You're pathetic. The only thing you have is your social media account. You're pathetic, you know, and you keep trying to hide behind it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm mocking these people, Mike. I'm sorry. I'm beyond trying to reason with these morons. I'm going to mock
here
them.
Here comes the music, folks. We'll be back on the flip side while we're on break. Support RBN. Hit that button.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Levon Helm. Yeah. If you have ever watched that video live of Levon Helm, a good Southern boy from Arkansas, if you have ever watched that video of him do "The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down," if you have looked at that, if you can find a song where anyone sings with more passion, I would love to see it, because I don't believe it exists. Because he had ancestors who were Confederates who fought against this Yankee Leviathan. And it defeated the people. That's the last time in this country that enough people had the courage to stand up to oppose an oppressive, out-of-control government. And that's why they are demonized today. That's why their monuments are being torn down. That's why all of this stuff is happening. And that's also why in the month of April, either on this program or on the Sunday night program, the month of April is Confederate History Month. and either on this program or on my program on tomorrow night or Sunday night, starting in April, one of those programs is going to be on the Confederacy and the truth about the Confederacy, and not the Marxist lies that we are taught in our Marxist educational system. And I really look forward to that. But that being said, let's jump back in here. And you know what? I haven't heard my friend Cal Robbins' voice here for a while. So, Cal, lecture us, buddy.
Well, your comment there, you know, with Levon Helms and all, is part of the reason, you know, they try to suffocate, you know, the Confederacy and all this stuff is because the genesis of that Confederacy or Confederate spirit, as you talk about, is that rebel spirit. And that rebel spirit is that yearning for individual liberty. And that's the genesis of where all that comes. And that is a direct enemy of the government. So, yeah, they need to erase the individual being an individual from the minds of the individual and have people think in the collective way. And you can see it in the narrative. I mean, how many people say the Constitution as opposed to our Constitution? Actually, if I say our Constitution to DW, he's going to correct me on it. If I say the Constitution, we're both going to know what we're talking about. And so it's in the language, it's in the narrative, using we, our. It's not our Constitution, it's the Constitution. If you want it to be, you know, think it's yours, okay, then it's your Constitution. But it ain't mine. And that's part of the indoctrination. That's part of what the Marxist school system's all about, is to create good little collectivists. Yield. Anybody there?
Oh, sorry, buddy. The greatest triumph of the wonderful Marxist is the fact that they have been able to, through mind control and emotions, been able to get the vast majority of American people to embrace their own tyranny. And I have to give them credit. These people are not dumb. They've done a heck of a job. When you can take 300 million people and convince them that the thing that has oppressed them is the thing that will bring them freedom, you're pretty darn good. Help me out here, guys.
Well, I'm chewing on some nuts.
Say what?
I agree. You know, the guys that started this whole mess were geniuses. To produce a document that could enslave everybody while making them think it was making them free. That's good.
I tell you what, it's deception that it's... Go ahead, DW.
It's, as Bernays said, it's propaganda. It's managing perceptions in order to manufacture consent. It's been very successful. Gouverneur Morris was incredibly good at it. That's why he was in charge of being the head scriptwriter, you know. And so this has been well understood for a very long time. People think that people have been told this wonderful mythology that they were exceptional and indispensable and immune to such trickery. The tricksters telling the trick that they protected them against these other trickers. I'm trying to put that in cornbread speak. It seems like the other grammar seems to fall short on the these dummies. So I guess you got to talk like you're some kind of cornball or hillbilly or doofus before the ignorant people will actually listen to you. Is that what you got to do? I got to act like one of them, you know. Yeah. That's what Barack Obama does when he came down south, you know, and all over the place. Wherever he went, he picked up the accent. Isn't that what Hillary Clinton did? Isn't that what Joe Biden tried to do? Yeah, they're pandering to you. They're playing you for the fools, and you're on a ship of fools, and you're a passenger. And if you think that it's uppity and know-it-all to actually understand what nouns and pronouns are, well, he's all learned and everything. He's calling that out. How dare he make fun of me because I don't speak right? Well, listen, dummy. If you don't understand what we means or of or our or is, you're a dummy. And how dare you impose your pronouns on me, Goober?
DW, I've just got an idea for a t-shirt.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, how about a picture of a guy sitting in the electric chair with a t-shirt on that says Patriot, and he says right before he's executed, well, at least I have my Constitution.
I like it. It'd make a great meme.
You know, it would if I knew how to make the meme.
Hey, listen to this guy.
We actually...
Well, over the weekend, Senator Clinton and her campaign took a trip down south, and apparently so did her accent. Listen to this.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't.
Okay, enough of that. I'm about ready to throw up.
Oh, well, I already did, Jim, and I'm trying to clean it up off my computer now. The point of it is...
Point made, though.
Yeah, very, very well point made. And the point of it is that here's one of the things that so many people do not realize is that how many people knew that Hillary Clinton was on the Richard Nixon impeachment committee?
I vaguely remember that.
And how many people know she was kicked off for fraud?
Mm-hmm.
And she is she's a wonderful hero. She and Bill. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, just ask the people of Haiti.
Yeah. They'll tell you. The people of Haiti have a real good idea about how well that works. And I'll tell you what, when Hillary was Secretary of State in 2014 and they pulled that Ukrainian deal where they took out the guy who had been popularly elected in the Ukraine, took him out and put in a Nazi sympathizer, you know, and it's okay if the United States goes out and overthrows duly elected governments and we support them? Really?
And then we give them billions and billions of dollars in military aid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we can't take care of our own veterans.
Yeah, it's insanity. We've got how many homeless veterans in this country, Jim?
And way yet, too many.
And yet we're sending money to Israel to help them with the Ukraine?
Yep.
And also with the Palestinians? Americans have financed, and this is something we really need to accept, and we really need to get, in my opinion, forgiveness for, how many of our tax dollars have gone to murder innocent civilians in the Middle East?
Yep. Unbelievable.
Unaccountable. You couldn't account for it all.
No.
The number is so... How do you value the lives of millions of people? What price do you put on your own life, okay? Well, then extrapolate that by millions.
Yeah, look at Madeline Not-So-Bright. And when she said that she thought the death of 500,000 Iraqis because we had put an embargo and they couldn't get medicine and they couldn't get food and they couldn't get other stuff, and she said on national TV, well, I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this country?
They think that by depriving other people of their life, liberty, and property and pursuit of happiness and their very lives increases their own freedom and liberty. That's how stupid they are. There's no other way to put it. You're just dumb as rocks.
Anybody
that's going to support the murdering and pillage and plunder and dispossession of all these people around the planet by the U.S. military and the U.S. government of all branches and intelligence agencies are the same people that want to take your liberty and my liberty away.
And absolutely.
That they're the same people. And I say you're cowards. And I say that you ain't nothing without your government. That's why you support government, because you know you ain't nothing without them. You're pathetic. I'll yield.
Oh.
Well, DW, you just reminded me. Remember back when Obama was president, and he said, "Well, you didn't get there by yourself. The government helped you get there." Remember that? And the conservative right went apoplectic over it. So when you point out these conservative right, well, you don't need government. Why do you keep voting for it? You need government. What do? They confirm what Obama said, and they say we need government to do this. So they're agreeing with him, aren't they? Every time they go vote,
absolutely.
Every time they defend the government.
Yeah.
I mean, when you said that, I remember Obama said, you didn't get there by yourself. Somebody in the government along the line helped you somewhere. And the right went crazy.
And you know what, Cal?
Yeah.
Deep down in their heart, they know they didn't. You know what? Actually, that's what makes them so mad.
They're not being honest with themselves, and so they're not honest.
No.
And you.
Well, they have to
Go ahead. Go ahead.
They have to remove that mask. They're wearing a false mask. The conservatives are wearing a false mask. They're quasi pseudo fake conservatives. They're phonies. You're pathetic.
You're having too much fun, DW.
I know. I'm off the hook today. I don't have any filter left today. It's all. I'll put it to you this way, and I'm saying this intentionally. My give a damn is all give out.
Your give a damn gave a damn.
Yeah.
Or you give a damn, don't give a damn.
That's exactly right. That's it.
Oh, well, Jim had to step away for a second. He'll be back with us. Cal, you want to jump in here, buddy?
Well, you know, we started this out with bring your own subject, and I deferred, and we kind of wandered right back into my subject. I wanted to talk about the founding and these so-called founders and what original intent actually is, because I've been seeing people go on about this original intent about founders. Well, they can't name who the founders are. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to go through, well, let's just go through, you know, the father of the Constitution, James Madison, and see what he wanted.
Little Jimmy.
Let's see what was in Jimmy's mind at the upcoming convention and what he wanted to do. And then I was going to go through, I mean, just two letters from Jimmy. Just excerpts from two of them, that he wrote both of them to George Washington. And the first one says, "I have not been here long enough to gather the general sentiments of leading characters touching on our affairs and prospects. I am inclined to hope that they will gradually be concentrated in the plan of a thorough reform of the existing system." He's talking about the Articles of Confederation. Then he goes on, he says, "Those who may lean towards a monarchical government, king people, and who I suspect are swayed by very ingested ideas, will of course abandon an unattainable object whenever a prospect opens of rendering the Republican form competent for its purposes." So Jimmy Madison is saying, look, George, we can, you know, create this monarchical government, but we can hide it within a Republican form of government. What we're going to call a Republican form of government. So this was Jimmy Madison's idea. Mike, has he accomplished that idea? Was that objective gained?
Oh, big time, big time. And, you know, that's one of the things. You just took me back to William McClay. And you made me think of something when John Adams, in McClay's notes, not in the book, in the papers that I have. I'm not sure it's in the book yet. I haven't found it. But in the papers, Adams was really pushing George Washington. He wanted him mounted, you know, he wanted him sitting on a pedestal above everyone else in Congress. He wanted all of this stuff, and he wanted the inaugural address to be much the same as the what King George had said in one of his addresses. As a matter of fact, he used the duplicate wording. Adams had used it. And McClay challenges him, and he says, Mr. Adams, Mr. Vice President, are you not aware that the people of this country fought a bloody war against the very principles of monarchy? And Adams' comment was classic. And he said, well, I don't think the majority of the people in this country are opposed to a monarchy. Those are our founders, guys. That, if that doesn't tell you, if that doesn't read you a good story, I don't know what does. Go ahead, Cal.
Well, I just wanted to go through, you know, some of what Jimmy Madison, he wanted to do. So we're going to jump forward to April 16th, just right before the convention. In a letter to George, he says, conceiving that an individual independence of the states is utterly irreconcilable with their aggregate sovereignty. In other words, the sovereignty of the states is not going to work. And that a consolidation of the whole into one simple republic would be as inexpedient as unattainable. In other words, we can't just make one country. I have sought for some middle ground, which may at once support a due supremacy of the national authority, meaning the federal government, and not to exclude the local authorities, meaning the states, whenever they can be subordinately useful. Has Madison obtained that objective? Oh, wait, so I'm starting to identify the actual intent of the founders? And this isn't what we were taught in school, was it, Mike? I don't know.
Oh, no, big time.
I've gone to blows with, like, Chris Ann Hall and Temple Medicine over there. But I'm hoping other people out there might be listening and might be listening. This is, you know, if you want to argue about it, don't take the argument with me. Take it up with James Madison. These are his words. This is the father of the Constitution, the chief architect of the Constitution, one of the authors of the Federalist Papers, those founded Federalist Papers. These are his words. These are his intentions. These are public record if you dare to look them up. So that's just two of them, Mike. I could continue on. I mean, the genesis of this whole problem, this whole mythology, starts way back then. The whole mythology about what the purpose of the Constitution was. It wasn't to support or to defend or protect the liberty of the people. It was to create a corporate economic empire.
Hey, buddy, wait until you see what William McClay had to say about that. Wait till you see these notes, which I'm hoping to get out soon. And
I've got them, Mike.
Well, you don't have the... No,
I have the originals.
No. You don't have the originals. You have what was in the book. And that's what I want to make sure, that all of the originals that I have are in the book and the book didn't leave something out. And I want to do that before I push McClay to its fullest extent.
Okay. So he exposes it too. So,
oh, big time.
Right on. So all I that was my intent, man. That was bring my own subject, and that was pointing out what the founders, and we'll focus on one, James Madison, you know, the chief, the father of the Constitution, what his objectives were, what was his intent, what was original intent. Well, the original intent was to create a republican form of government that acted like a monarchy. He accomplished it.
Well, they wanted to call it a republican form of government, And, you know, that wonderful statement by Franklin, which was what, probably one of the most blatant lies in our history. Oh, we have a republic if you can keep it.
That last comment of me is going, I wonder if Franklin was thinking this isn't going to last. This isn't going to work, because there are writings between the Federalists, between each other, doubting that this system would work. But when it does fail, then the people will be willing to accept an outright monarchy.
Oh, yes.
I read that from Washington. I mean, some of them were actually expecting, well, this system, you know, because they don't know for sure if it's going to work. They don't know, you know, they're not completely prophets, but they were pretty smart at what they did. And they thought, well, if it doesn't work, maybe it'll be so bad that the people will then accept the monarchy. And that they actually spoke of that.
Oh, yes. Well, Cal, wait till you see McClay's comments here, buddy. Wait till you see how he really dives into this. I can totally understand why nobody mentioned William McClay for 89 years. I can totally understand that. Because if I was in government today, I wouldn't want you to know anything about William McClay. Jim, you back with us, buddy?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, carry us on to the break, would you please?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I got that much left.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you know, I can't wait to hear from William McClay either. I'm looking to see if I can find some of his books online. I'm pretty sure they're probably on archive.org or gov or whatever, or com. Anyway, I'm going to do some digging on that, because this guy sounds like a powerful dude. And I'd say he's right up there, you know, from the sounds of things. He's kind of tugging on Patrick Henry's coattails, I would say.
Well, and big time, big time. You know, it really gets to me. He was an agrarian. He was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's something I don't think people understand, is how the farmers went against the industrialist in the beginning of this country. People like Hamilton, who were industrialists, who wanted to have government to support big business and to hell with the common man. He could pay the taxes to support what they were doing. And that's exactly Hamilton's philosophy. And
monarchy.
Yes, it was a monarchy. And
go ahead. Supporting business. It's fascist.
Yeah, that's fascism. You know, but monarchy's fascism. Big time.
Yeah. Making the little guy pay.
Oh, here comes the music,
guys. There it is.
Hang on. We'll be on the other side. Good job, Sarge.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.